Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Greetings. You're listening to Guiding Stars Evolutionary Astrology Radio. This is your host, Kristen Fontana. I'm here with my co-host, Rose Marcus. Welcome back, Rose.
Hello, Kristen. Great to be with you today. And hello to all of our wonderful listeners out there. We love your feedback. Thank you so much.
Yes, we do. And we love gathering together at the end of every month to prepare for the next month and to shine a light forward, to illuminate what you might be calling in for yourself. And no matter what it is, your soul is calling it in for its own evolution. So that's what we do have to be reminded of, especially during all this Cancer energy, when things tend to feel more tender and tug a little harder. It's impossible to escape the emotions when so many planets are in Cancer. It's impossible to leave the water, and it's a good thing. This is how we evolve through these currents, through these energies. Allow yourself to bathe in them a little bit longer and, you know, use the time for that. It is really important to nurture your soul, to know how to nurture your soul, and to just drop into the feelings that you're having. So this has been a big part of really the second 2 weeks of June for sure. We are feeling Saturn starting to slow down now in Pisces, which is also a water sign. It's stationing retrograde on Saturday, the 29th of June in Pisces. What degree is that? 19 degrees, Rose.
Yes, 19 degrees. And it'll go all the way till the middle of November in retrograde. So, of course, we know that Saturn's transit is a 2.5-year transit through a sign. So we are dealing with that Saturn in Pisces for an extended period of time. A retrograde influence, you know, when Saturn Pisces is the ocean, right? You know, and it is when Saturn turns retrograde in the sign of Pisces, it is a tuning in archetype. You know, when we are dealing with, and Neptune will station retrograde on the 2nd of July in the sign of Pisces as well, too. So both of these transits, they're traveling very close together. They're not going to come together until 2026, I think it is, in the sign of Aries when they'll be together. I have to double check that in a minute. I will do that. But anyway, both Saturn and Neptune retrograde in the sign of Pisces is about tuning in. And just as you were saying, Kristen, we have Mercury in Cancer, and you know, we have the Sun in Cancer, and we have Venus in Cancer until July 11th. And it is about feeling those emotions, allowing those emotions to run through you or run their course, whatever they might be. And of course, they do make us feel more vulnerable and more sensitive and more overwhelmed, I will say, as well, too, with whatever it is that we might be experiencing. And of course, you know, a Cancer archetype, it deals with the fears and the insecurities. And certainly we have all of that kind of rampant fear. You know, what if I lose control? You know, and it's very hard right now to really gain sure footing or to gain the amount of control that might make you feel secure. But the transit of Saturn turning retrograde and Neptune retrograde are meant to get more specific. So it's what I always say with Saturn in Neptune, it's a dissolving, disintegrating process. So Saturn's a structure of anything, right? A structure of consciousness, a structure of the reality. And as Saturn moves through Pisces, it's dissolving something here. And as this dissolving or disintegrating influence is taking place, what it does is expose or reveal the potentials that are on brew that we may not have seen because there's, some barrier in the way of actually tapping into that resource, the potential that is wanting to make its presence more fully known. And this is not something that we can have control over. It's something that we have to allow. You know, Pisces is about allowing. It's about relinquishing that control, relinquishing and Pisces, Neptune as well too. It's about our projected expectations. So we can never really, it's about relinquishing those expectations. You know, it's like we feel secure because we're projecting a reality or projecting a reality. I know what's going to happen next. You know, down the road, you know, I'm going to be continuing to do whatever it is that I'm doing and my relationships are going to be this and my circumstances are going to be that and my money is going to be this or, you know, whatever it might be. But in any moment that could shift, right? You know, and so, you know, true security along that line is really an illusion. It's, you know, it's part of that creative process. When we are dealing with these retrogrades, it is about going deeper and it's about attuning to whatever the soul wants you to, put your gaze on, right? To have that focus.
What a great word. Gaze.
Gaze.
Gaze on. It's so Neptunian. Wow.
I just feel like, you know, the river currents, you know, whenever you're watching the water and, you know, and the waves are like, you know, and they're always moving, they're always doing that kind of moving process. And as you look, you know, if you're ever watching the ocean and, you know, then that particular wave catches your eye, you know, or that, you know, whatever bobs up out of the water catches your eye. Those are what the retrogrades in Pisces are meant to do. And it's gonna keep moving, it's gonna keep being fluid, because that's Pisces, it's fluid, you know, and then every once in a while something catches the attention. And that's going to be something that is a seed or a kernel of there's a lot more there.
Wow, eye-catching, that is so true. It's just like right when the light hits it in a certain way, right? It comes up, the sun hits it, and it just catches your eye. And it's a little bit like when you're on a hike or you're moving in nature in some way. And, you know, by slowing down your pace, right, there's things that you can catch that you wouldn't have seen otherwise. There is a slowdown that's being asked of us all, actually, a slowdown. And I've really experienced this. I'm kind of someone who's loved the ocean and the river, the movement. But lately, like, all I want to feel is a lake. You know, I just want stillness. And I think it's all this, like, when I see a river, it almost like moves my nervous system too much. The lake, that peace, that's what the Saturn slowing down in Pisces is, just give me that peace. Peace is a big part of this transit. I think we all want that more than most things, right? I mean, it kind of starts there. We want that peaceful center. And we have a peaceful center, we can be more open and objective. We can see things more clearly. We can have the bigger picture. We can be more loving. And all of that is so important. So eye-catching. I love that too, Rose, that you mentioned. Those things that are trying to catch our attention in a way so we can evolve. And one of the mentioned, it reminded me when you were talking about the structure dissolving, the structure of our life, whether it's a career or a relationship or something. I mean, nothing dissolves that's meant to stay. So whatever's dissolving, it's run its course, or, you know, it's come to fruition in some way. And sometimes things have to dissolve so we can see what's inside, what is inside that experience. And I was thinking of a present, unwrapping a present. We don't know what's inside the gift, right? We just see the box or the wrapping paper, It's the unknown that exists when somebody gives you a gift and you're holding this gift, and that wrapping, that box has to be opened in order for you to access the gift. And so that's also another way to look at this transit, that there is a gift that can be accessed or experienced when we just allow, like you said, unwrap what has been that structure, or just let it fall away and surrender to what comes next. And that is a big part of these transits.
Very well put. We are going to a break and we'll be back in a moment.
Find out about Kristen Fontana and get your free weekly astrological forecast on her website, kristenfontana.com. Read articles written by the founder of evolutionary astrology, Jeffrey Wolf Green. Evolutionary astrology is a spiritual perspective astrology from Pluto's point of view, and what a view it is. You can even order a detailed personalized chart that tells you about your past, present, and future. You'll also discover where and when Kristen's upcoming conferences, workshops, and appearances will be on kristenfontana.com. That's K-R-I-S-T-I-N, Fontana.com.
Okay, you're stressed. You need a little R&R. Wouldn't going to a spa help? There's all kinds of spas too. Destination spas, medical spas, day spas, even dental and mobile spas. Where do you find the right spa at the right price? Oh no, more stress? Well, not anymore. Visit SpaFinders.com. At SpaFinders.com, you'll find everything you need to know about spas from around the world. So de-stress. Click on SpaFinders.com right on our homepage. Ah, oh, I'm feeling relaxed already.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? Would you feel scared or proud? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Would you rather make your own way or spend a lifetime saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Water. In the hot summer sun, water is a natural thought, like relaxing at the beach with the waves lapping at your feet, or perhaps being with your significant other under a secluded, gently cascading waterfall. If you want a little more action, how about water skiing or boating on an icy, clear blue lake? With Expedia.com, everything you need for travel, flights, hotels, cruises, vacation packages, they have it all at a price you can afford. Go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Expedia.com.
I'm William Shatner, and this is Jimmy. Animals like Jimmy are often left behind by people fleeing hurricanes, fires, floods, and earthquakes. These abandoned animals cannot survive on their own. If you must evacuate your home, please never leave an animal behind. If you absolutely cannot take your animal with you, never leave him helplessly chained or caged. Many animals die because they cannot escape fires or rising waters. Animals need your help. Thank you.
Call PETA today, 757-622-PETA.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
It really did go so fast.
Yeah, time to slow down with Saturn. That was beautiful with unwrapping the gift. I had another thought about that as, you know, my own experience, because I have Saturn retrograde in my own natal chart. But, you know, it's like you think about the room that you live in all the time. You know, it's like the room that you live in and what kind of furniture is in the room, right? You know, so you know this whole room. And when you exit that room and you go into another room that has a complete different decor or different function, do you know, it's a whole different reality. I always think that wherever you are with Saturn, you're completely entrenched in that, right? You know, so I'm thinking about everything that I have built, you know, all of my reality base, and it doesn't allow any room for anything else to come in. So this is why that Saturn in Pisces is so important, you know, to relinquish a little bit of that. I mean, you know, if I've got my closet full, I can't put any more stuff in it, right? So something has to empty out. And that's another way to look at the way this Saturn retrograde might be working. It's like I can't fathom another reality because I'm in this crowded room. But if I move to the next room, my whole, vision of what I'm looking at shifts.
Mm-hmm. Space.
Yeah.
Space is an amazing thing. And that is that Pisces piece, because whether we're in prayer or meditation, it's infinite space. Right? There's no limit to what you can imagine, what you can, what you could be receptive to. It is infinite. It is Pisces. It is eternal. So space, when Saturn is retrograde, it allows for so much space, so much more inner space, space in your life. I mean, it is intended to be a time when you do take the pot off the stove, right? Things aren't so high pressured. You've got Neptune retrograde, which about to be retrograde, which rules Saturn and Pisces. And so that's a double signature. I mean, it really is inviting you into the water and or inviting you into the infinite space where peace can be found, where healing can happen, where love can deepen. All of that is, I feel, more possible under a retrograde sky with Saturn and Pisces and Neptune and Pisces. It invites that. And I think what's most important is we all have a tendency to want to control outcomes in order to feel secure. It's part of the human experience, like you said, whether it's a relationship, whether it's your financial situation. But at times we need to let go and kind of loosen our grip on something. Because when we know we can't control it, we don't know what the future holds. It's not worth spending that time and energy there. It will be exhausting. It can make us sick if it's held on to for too long. So I think it just helps us to be in the body in a better way, to be in the body with more freedom, because attachment is the thief of joy. When we attach to something too hard or cling to it for dear life, it does zap the joy that we really are intending to experience from it. And guess what? We lose the moment. Saturn's about time. We would lose the moment. So to be more present, Saturn retrograde, Neptune retrograde, to be present in every moment. If we fill that space with worry or concern, of course, sometimes we can't help ourselves to do that, but we lose the gift of the moment. And so I think these transits are helping us with that as well.
I absolutely love that. Attachment is a thief of joy. What a powerful statement that is.
I didn't look it up. I heard it somewhere.
It's
okay. It caught my attention when I heard it.
Oh, well, most definitely. You know, I have to say that I was just visiting an extended family member who just turned 100. Yeah.
Wow.
And basically she's waiting to die, but she has so many regrets, And, it was a bit painful to listen to her with those regrets. And, this is Saturn. Saturn's all about time, right? And using your time to the best of your ability. And do you know how many times we have regrets because we didn't tell somebody that we love them or appreciate them, or that we weren't fully present for our kids because we were stressed about something else, right? Or whatever it might be. Just be here now, right? That's the Baba Ram Dass mantra, I think, right? And it's interesting because the Saturn stations retrograde on the 29th in Pisces. And then on the 2nd, July 2nd, Neptune stations retrograde. And so when a planet is turning direction, whether it is starting retrograde or ending retrograde, it is slow in its motion. So we're right under that, kind of Saturn is putting the brakes on, and then Neptune is going to put the brakes on. And, this is covering over. July 1st is Canada Day. So it's a holiday. It's the start of summer break for students in the Northern Hemisphere, and July 4th is the July 4th American Independence Day, and so on. So we're going into a week of vacation, and maybe you could just take a little bit of vacation from the stress and worry right now. Kind of put it on pause. It'll always be there when you want to go back to it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good advice, Rose.
Yeah.
All right. So one thing I wanted to share, but do we need to go to another break?
We've got just another minute we can do. Okay. Yeah.
All right. So my daughter was a senior in college and I was a psychology major. And one of the classes she took was the psychology of aging. And so one of the projects they had to do was to interview somebody in their later years, in their 80s at least. And she had this wonderful interview with this woman. And she asked her, "Do you have any regrets?" And this woman said, "Yeah, I wish I would have gone for it. I wish I would have gone for it more." And it was specific to, she was actually a dancer, a performer, a creative person, and as my daughter is as well. And there's always these reasons why we shouldn't do it. Oh, you don't get paid enough, or you don't, you know, I'll never be good enough, or whatever the excuse is. So we just get a regular job or do whatever it is that we do just to cover the bases. And so at this time, my daughter's like 21, 22 years old. And to hear someone in their 80s telling her, "I wish I would have gone for it. That is my biggest regret." I mean, that is something she will never forget, you know? And I think it's important. And even if you're in your 80s and you're listening to this and you're still blinking and breathing, there's plenty of things that you can still do with your time, with your emotion, with your energy now, so you don't drag it into your next life, right? Have that conversation. Tell that person you're sorry. Tell that person you love them, whatever it might be. Do it now. Do it now.
Absolutely. We are on to a break. We'll be back in a minute.
Find out about Kristen Fontana and get your free weekly astrological forecast on her website, kristenfontana.com. Read articles written by the founder of evolutionary astrology, Jeffrey Wolf Green. Evolutionary astrology is a spiritual perspective astrology from Pluto's point of view, and what a view it is. You can even order a detailed personalized chart that tells you about your past, present, and future. You'll also discover where and when Kristen's upcoming conferences, workshops, and appearances will be on kristenfontana.com. That's KRISTIN Fontana.com.
Have you ever wondered why you are here on this planet and what the point to all of this is? Evolutionary astrology is a natural science that allows for an understanding of the evolutionary journey of the soul from life to life. Evolutionary astrology provides a vehicle to understand prior life dynamics that have led to the reason and purpose for the life you live. It offers a depth of information and insights about each person that no other type of astrology can provide. As Jeffrey Wolf Green, the founder of evolutionary astrology, says,
"For those who wish to unveil the depth of who you actually are, I would highly recommend that you seek out qualified evolutionary astrologers such as Kristen Fontana and other graduated students of the School of Evolutionary Astrology. For those who are considering becoming an astrologer to make it a natural career, I'd recommend that you consider Jeffrey Wolf Green's School of Evolutionary Astrology, where it will assist you in answering and your clients answering a big question: why am I here? Thanks for listening, and God bless."
Okay, you're stressed. You need a little R&R. Wouldn't going to a spa help? There's all kinds of spas too. Destination spas, medical spas, day spas, even dental and mobile spas. Where do you find the right spa at the right price? Oh no, more stress? Well, not anymore. Visit spafinders.com. At spafinders.com, you'll find everything you need to know about spas from around the world. So de-stress. Click on spafinders.com right on our homepage. I'm feeling relaxed already.
Whether you're taking a short trip or traveling across the world, Magellans.com is the world's most trusted source for travel, and they guarantee 100% satisfaction. They have everything you need to make travel just a bit more pleasurable. Who doesn't like that? They have travel alarms, clothing, the best luggage, wallets, everything you need except the ticket. Visit the advertiser page on HealthyLife.net and click on Magellans now. You will not only see their travel products, but get a free catalog and read articles with tips on how to make your travel easier. Visit the advertiser page and click on Magellans now.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
So let me just kind of outline what's next here. So on July 2nd, we have Mercury moving into Leo, And it will be in trine to Neptune just about an hour after Neptune stations retrograde. So isn't that interesting? And then on July 3rd, Mercury will be opposing Pluto, which is currently traveling through the sign of Aquarius. So there's kind of a big start to the month right here. And just also the second, you know, the second's got quite a lot going on because we also have a Venus trine Saturn. Venus is traveling through the sign of Cancer, and it is trying that Saturn retrograde as well, too. So that's kind of a lot bunched up into, you know, kind of one piece here. And just while I'm on that, let me just say, so what Mercury does to begin with is it trines Neptune and then changes sign and moves into an opposition with Pluto. And then we have a little bit later in the month, let me just find it. Okay. On the 11th, we have Venus in moving into the sign of Leo. And on the 12th, we have Venus opposing Pluto. So we have the 11th and 12th. We have the second and third, Mercury trine Neptune oppose Pluto. And on the 11th, we have Venus trine Neptune moving into Leo, opposing Pluto. So we have two runs there between the second, third, and the 11th, 12th, right? So yeah, both in doing that. And you know what I think about that is the alignment, a trine with Mercury or Venus, trining that Neptune retrograde. And remember, I just said Neptune has just turned retrograde. On the second, it is actually turning direction. So it's slow in motion. By about the 11th, it's picking up some movement. It's moving just a teensy bit faster. But the opportunity of the Venus or Mercury trining the Neptune is a time of kind of piecing it together. It's like, again, that attunement. It is about a potential that that is shown to you. It's something that's revealed to you. It's something that feels like, ah, this is a potential. Oh, this is synthesized. You know, another word I use for Pisces, synthesis, right? It's like, oh, my ideas are coming together. This conversation is coming together. This plan is coming together. This potential is coming together. That's all the Mercury stuff, right? Oh, this, you know, this is kind of working out in this way. I'm able to see how all of that is you know, melding together, merging together. And the same thing with the Venus process, which is about your evaluation process, what you're relating to, and what you're finding of value and meaning within all of that, you know, kind of working that all out. So this is a process. And when we have an opposition with Pluto, we have an acceleration. So we're moving from this, oh, look at how that's coming together, into a shape-shifting, right? You know, so we're taking something. This is just in a really fast track, I think, with this bunch up of moving from Cancer to Leo, from Mercury moving, finishing off in one sign, moving into another, Venus moving out of Cancer, moving into Leo, making these connections with Neptune and with Pluto. It is a whole process of moving very fast through a whole metamorphic process. You know, start with one idea, you know, wherever, you know, this conversation starts and wherever it ends, you know, it could be vastly different from what the expectations are, you know, what the intention might be. But it is very, if you will allow that to happen, which is what that Neptune piece is, it's allowing something to come into being that can put you on a faster track to figuring out what the best, foot forward would be with Mercury, you know, how to envision that a little bit different, how to formulate the conversation for yourself. It's the inner dialogue and the outer accessing. You know, this is what happens with a retrograde, with an opposition in general. It's what's going on the inside and how it's being reflected on the outside, right? These two dynamics. So I think those dates are really charged, really potent in terms of taking you from A to Z or A to Q or something. I don't know, you know. You know, you're not at the end of the road, but what a shift can go on. So if you've been blocked which is sometimes what, you know, Pluto is about, you know, confronting the limitation and metamorphosizing at the same time. So it's like, I can't figure it out. Oh, wow. Just came up with something that seems like I can implement that. Or I can.
Very dramatic. It's right. It's dramatic. It's Venus in Leo. It's so dramatic. And it can be about eliminating something that's been getting you, you know, creating the bottleneck, like you said, something that's been blocking you. It's like, oh, I recognize that I've got to remove this, or I've got to shift that, or I'm never going to get where I'm going, or I need to go. And also on the 15th of July, Mars and Uranus will be conjunct in Taurus, which is, talk about charge. I mean, that is like, holy smokes, very powerful. I mean, they do make pretty close sextile to the sun on one side, and they sextile within 3 degrees Neptune on the other. And so there is support. There's wings to this aspect, right? It's like something is taking flight and fast. That is so Uranian. It's like a gear change or a direction change, turning on a dime. It just feels very electric.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, with Pluto, Pluto's an obsessive, you know, you're focused in on something, maybe you've got this tunnel vision and so on. But the aspect is Leo Aquarius, right? And so this is giving some some better perspective or some objectivity that you might not have had before. You know, it's that attachment that we were talking about earlier. I just want to see this accomplished. I just want to see this done. I just wish that person would be different, or I wish this circumstance would be, you know, according to what you see would be the better option here. But it also gives you the opportunity with that Neptune starting the whole process of saying, you know, no, I'm fixated on this. I'm not letting go of this. And like, oh, yeah, well, I think maybe it would be better if I did, right? You know, so that's a whole natural process of resistance, 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 acquiesce.
It's the whole thing about attachment, Rose. Venus is all about that. You know, we all have certain attachments in order to feel good or to feel okay or to, it's just part of the human condition. But with Pluto opposing that, Leo, it is about eliminating our attachments as best as we can, because really that is what is the reason for a lot of suffering. Expectations is another Venus word, evolving our expectations. And I just love how you put it, because with Pluto, you're right, we can get so fixated on how we think something should be or should go, or this isn't fair. It's not fair that my friend over here is in so much pain, or it's not fair. And when we look at our country, there's so much crazy stuff going on. That doesn't feel fair. I have a few things I could preach on, you know, in terms of obviously women's rights, and certain things are just not fair. When a man, you know, lays down a law about what a woman can and can't do, that is not fair. So we can get all, of course, up in arms about it. We can do what we can about it. But ultimately, it does come down to expectations, attachments, and hey, yeah, if you want to go fight for what's fair, that's part of it. If you want to get involved and be part of a movement because you think something's not fair in your community or even in this country, and you want to get involved, we are at a very heated time right now in the U.S. Of course, it's going to affect the rest of this planet. So we're all feeling that charge. And so that's what this.
Yeah, absolutely. And one other thing too, on top of that too, is you may be attached to wanting to be acknowledged or appreciated too. And I always think that, you know, when you finally relinquish, it's like, I'm not going to get the goods out of that. Sometimes you do get the appreciation and respect, right? You know, we have to go to a break. We'll be right back.
Find out about Kristen Fontana and get your free weekly astrological forecast on her website, kristenfontana.com. Read articles written by the founder of evolutionary astrology, Jeffrey Wolf Green. Evolutionary astrology is a spiritual perspective astrology from Pluto's point of view, and what a view it is. You can even order a detailed personalized chart that tells you about your past, present, and future. You'll also discover where and when Kristen's upcoming conferences, workshops, and appearances will be on kristenfontana.com. That's KRISTINFontana.com.
If you're like the 8 out of 10 women that say finding jeans that fit is a problem, well, your problem is solved. Lee Jeans has done extensive research and they have jeans that fit. There's even an online Lee Fit Finder so you can find the right fit for you. Imagine jeans that instantly slim you with a custom fit and no gap waistband. And guys, kids, Lee has jeans for you too. Click through to Lee's Jeans on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and get what fits.
Take one step towards spirit. Spirit will take 1,000 steps toward you. Come explore the world of evolutionary astrology with Rose Marcus. Rose Marcus is well known for her heartfelt passion, sensitive counseling skills, and dedication to helping others. You can now study evolutionary astrology from the comfort of your own home through live teleconference classes with Rose. To register for the next Evolutionary Astrology School, to read your in-depth monthly horoscope, or to book a private astrology with Rose Marcus, please visit her website, www.rosemarcus.com.
Oh man, it never fails. My suitcase just got ripped apart.
Life is a journey. Make it a pleasant one. Use Samsonite. You know the name. For almost a century, Samsonite Luggage has proved itself to be the worldwide leader in innovative travel solutions. Let it be yours. Visit HealthyLife.net's affiliate Samsonite on our homepage and click to look at the fine luggage from suitcases to golf travel bags. And don't forget, take a look at their travel accessories. Make life a journey, a pleasant one, with Samsonite.
In college, I took a lot of history and liberal arts classes, and frankly, I don't remember much of any of it. But as an adult, I find myself engrossed in fascinating programs on the A&E and History Channel. They've pretty much helped me to be pretty impressive at social functions, and I just found out today that I can purchase DVDs of my favorite A&E and History Channel programs right through HealthyLife.net. You should visit HealthyLife.net and order your favorite A&E and History Channel program DVDs as well, and then discover how many people you can impress during your next social occasion.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
All right, I want to talk a little bit more about this Uranus-Mars conjunction, but we will go back and talk about the new moon on the 5th and cover the full moon as well in July. But Rose, I know I was saying a lot there. Uranus conjunct Mars, as you can imagine, is very combustive. It's like firecracker energy, really. And it can be very propelling if you're, and very spontaneous. And I mean, all of a sudden you can have a surge of courage that you haven't had to date. Mars does rule the North Node in Aries. And so it's kind of like what happens when, someone's going to defend their country. You know, they don't think much. They're just acting. It is some really going after it. And with Uranus, things are happening very quickly. And so it can be a positive thing in terms of an opportunity showing up. And you have to make a decision quickly. How do you see this happening?
Well, the other thing is that Uranus is traveling through sign of Taurus, and this is Mars in Taurus conjunct Uranus in Taurus, and that's got everything to do with, again, the Venus principle, right? My relationship to myself, what's of value and meaning, fatedness regarding relationship dynamics, it's all of that kind of stuff. It's got to do with survival, right? So got to do with survival at all levels. Can I withstand this? But what I see with this transit is, that's the 15th of July. We've just come from the 12th, where Venus and Pluto are opposite, right? So we've just moved through this Venus process of, an acceleration on that evolution of whatever that value and meaning is, whatever that relating, that way of relating to myself and to my reality, whatever it is that I'm focusing in on. And then the transit on the 15th, it is a moon in Scorpio to pump that up in terms of a shift of significance. The Mars conjunct Uranus is an acceleration, but something that's spontaneous. It's something that's fast. It's like a breakthrough. it busts up something, right? You know, so it can work in whatever way it's going to work with you. For sure, it has the opportunity to, I think, bust up that concrete. And we're just on that, at that point here, moving into a first quarter moon. And the first quarter moon is action time. So we've moved through this process in the first half of the month. And the second half of the month is for implementation. So the Mars and Uranus says, you know, action time is what I think. So it might be something out of the blue. It could be just a spontaneous, I know that I do this a lot, and maybe you do too, with the fire energy that we have. It's like when I get an idea, I'm out the door with the keys in the hand, right? You know, I just, you know, I'm on a freight train. You know, if I'm upset, I'm on a freight train. If I'm inspired, I'm on a freight train. You know, it's like both ends of the spectrum. But suffice to say, that's going to get a move along of significance. Also on that date, Moon is making nice trine to Saturn. Sun and Chiron are in square. So I think that is whatever takes place around that period of time. I think it is setting up for action, you know, and so we've got that happening. I think it's a positive. For me, it feels like it's a positive. It's what we've been waiting for, the opportunity to move this to higher ground.
Yeah, I mean, it's maximum pressure and maximum push and maximum support at the same time. So when we want growth, we need some of both. We need the pressure. You know, we really need something that's spring-loaded to send us sailing, you know, to send us really just to make a massive difference. And so that's what it takes. So there's a lot of support through that Scorpio moon trining the Saturn, and the Sun forms a grand trine ultimately, and it will progressively trine Neptune. So even if things feel chaotic or all over the place initially, I think it's just going to finish with some sort of streamlined effect with a lot of speed. So
yeah, with a lot of speed. And what I'm seeing for the rest of the week there, you know, as I said, first quarter moon, and there's some good aspects that are coming in on the 18th. Mercury and Chiron are in trine. You know, Chiron, we always talk about the wounded healer archetype, but you know, that's a maverick archetype, and it brings opportunity. It's a little piece of, as I say, fatedness, or, you know, destined to be, you know, what is meant to be happens, right? It comes into being. That whole week is setting up to get to the end of the week when the 20th, Mars moves into Gemini. So we have Mars moving out of Taurus and into Gemini, and Mars transits are about 6 weeks. And Mars will be in Gemini to September 4. So we are going to go to another break, and we'll come right back.
All right. So, Rose, you're talking about Mars entering Gemini, and as it does, it trines Pluto. Love that aspect. So we talk about Mars being the desires of the soul, instinctual desires within you, your soul's communicating to you through your instinct what you want, what your soul wants, and how to drive your life forward. You're really going to know that by middle July. But I love that even the moon is in Aquarius on the 21st. Gosh, that feels big. 21st of July, it's a Sunday, but it is receiving a trine from Mars. That is getting something going. That is extremely productive. Mercury, which rules Mars, is squaring Uranus on that day. So again, feels a little bit, well, it's an acceleratory energy. It could be a pivot, a quick pivot, because you've something eye-catching has that rose over there. You know, the eye catcher has you going in another direction quickly. So I do love when Mars enters Gemini early on there. The Sun on the 21st is also trining Neptune. So there's multiple things happening at that time. I just wanted to mention that before we move to the next aspect.
Yeah, and just again to make that point of whatever that Mars conjunct Uranus is on the 15th, moving to that Mars trining Pluto at the end of the week has a suggestion of, even if it's harsh for you, there's really good opportunity to regroup and move to, a next page.
All right. About the new moon on the 5th of July. So the new moon in Cancer on the 5th of July, obviously the moon is the ruling planet for Cancer. So if you have a lot of this energy in your chart, you will enjoy this new moon because Venus is also in Cancer on the 5th of July, and it is supportively aspecting Mars still, as well as Uranus and Taurus. And it's a perfect time to take a little vacation, Rose, I think. And Mercury is also in Leo. It's moved beyond the opposition to Pluto, progressively at least, and nicely aspecting the nodes. What do you have to say about this new moon?
Well, Cancer is about self-care. And this yes. new moon is about prioritizing. I think you said this in conversation before we got on air, you have to take care of yourself first if you are going to be able to administer to anyone else, right? If you're going to be able to be present for the people you love and the people who need you, you have to be in good shape yourself. So, and I think that we tend to do this, especially because we're so stressed nowadays with everything that is challenging us, that we don't top up with a good amount of that me first energy. So I think that Cancer new moon exactly does that. Venus is in Cancer at that new moon and forming a square to Chiron in Aries. And I like to use Eris, which is sitting at 25 degrees Aries as well, too. So that's that bit of chafing bit that says, what do I need here? That new moon is going to make you more conscious of what do I need? How am I taking care of myself? And what needs to shift in terms of the old ways of doing that self-preservation dynamic that I tend to fall back on. And I also want to point out, I also like to use Ceres. Ceres is like a secondary Pluto. It's the story of Demeter and Persephone, and it's got a lot to do with grief and, all of that kind of stuff. It's in the sign of Capricorn, and it's currently retrograde, and will continue to square the nodal axis for some time here. And I always see that as, re-meeting again with some issue that you're looking to gain better ground with, So again, with Capricorn, it is what is authentic for you in terms of what do you need for this particular point along your own journey, right? So that's going to be a bit of a push-pull, Cancer, Capricorn, a piece of that. How do I show up for myself? How do I show up for others? It's about a review of your own personal priorities. And what is it there that needs to shift so that you don't feel so pulled in so many different directions at the same time?
Yes, excellent. Okay, let's move to the full moon.
All right, yeah. And the full moon, when is the full moon? The 21st, all right. We were just talking about that full moon. And the full moon is taking place at the very last degree of Capricorn Cancer.
Yeah, see, here I am talking. I was all excited about Mars moving into Gemini. I was already in Aquarius, and I'd already moved past that full moon in Capricorn. It's just like, it might be a little bit heavy. It's going to be coming in behind Pluto. Yes, it will be trining Uranus, but there's so much energy. I think as soon as that moon moves into Aquarius, comes in front of Pluto, it's going to be like an exhale. I don't know what you feel about that, but so that full moon occurs earlier in the morning on that day. I don't have the exact time.
And I think the big thing with that, and I just want to say that 29 degrees, by the way, of Capricorn, this is a full moon. So it deals with the now, it deals with the present. So it's going to deal with all of that. And when we have things at the very last degree, we're culminating something, right? So we're culminating a chapter with Capricorn, a reality. Again, it's about a revision on what the priorities are moving forward from here. But I just want to remind folks out there as well, too, from September 3rd until November 19, Pluto's going to retrograde back into Capricorn, and it's going to be over that 29 degrees. So that 29 degrees is going to be activated again. And by the way, yeah, and you talked about this earlier in terms of what's going on out there in the world. Cancer, I mean, that deals with your emotional body and so on. But Cancer is an archetype that deals with the public, right? You know, and it deals with, you know, our collective as well, too, that Cancer Capricorn of what we are facing in terms of the collective reality. And of course, you know, the elections coming up in November, and there have been elections all over the planet, and we've got all of this kind of reality that we're being confronted with day in and day out, right? You know, so this is all of that. So we've still got a bit more work to do with this. But on the full moon, the other, you know, kind of trigger with the full moon is the fact that Mercury is in square to Uranus on that day as well, too. And Mercury is in the sign of Leo. And Leo is about saying, you know, I want this, or I deserve this, or I love myself enough to fill in the blank, right? You know, so it may be a matter of that. I love that for some kind of personal breakthrough with this full moon. What do you think of that?
Yes, yes, yes. I was getting a little bit more, I was softening a little bit the more I looked at this chart. And I'll tell you what. And I needed to soften. When I hear full moon in Capricorn, everything stiffens in me sometimes because it's so antithetical to Cancer. And a few things I just, you know, EA teachings is that the Capricorn energy in us really ultimately wants to lose control, right? As much as you want control, you want to lose control. It's this polarity that comes with it. And we're all learning that our ultimate strength lies in our ability to be vulnerable, to be soft, to be open. It takes a lot of energy to protect ourselves, to hold things back. It takes an enormous amount of energy. And so I see this as like a dam breaking in a way, in a positive way, letting that river run through us and liberate us from whatever we have been holding on to, that history of content we don't need anymore, to unpack it all and leave it at the door. But I'm noticing here there's a kite pattern occurring at this full moon. And the type of the kite is Neptune, which is spirit, it's healing, it's heavenly, it's surrender, it's letting go. And at each wing of this kite, we've got the moon, the full moon on one side, and we've got Uranus on the other with Mars. And it is just the wings of this kite. These points, it feels so elevating. It's like letting go of the gravity of something. Wow, what a feeling that would be to just not have that gravity weighing on you anymore. The tail of the kite is the south node in Libra, and part of this tail of the kite. And so I would just say that, you know, really it is about letting go of the past in some way. It is a 10 degree orb there, Rose, but it is still active. And so I see this as, imagine a kite for yourself and rising above anything earthly that's weighing you down. That's what this can provide for you on that day.
Well, you know, that's lovely. And really just to add to that as well, too. So Sun, Neptune, trine, you know, we have a full moon. A full moon is a polarization. It's, you know, a culmination and intensification and so on. But the sun is in a lovely trine to Neptune, and that moon, you know, has formed trine to Uranus, and will, you know, move to a trine with Mars, which Mars is trine Pluto. So both the luminaries have support from other energies to, you know, to help that dam break and to move forward in a way that feels really, you know, is conducive, is exactly, you know, exactly moving forward in a wonderful way. I have to tell you, Kristen, because I'm watching these transits that we've been talking about, and my daughter is due to have her child on the 29th of July, and I'm looking at this full moon on the 21st and 22nd as kind of like facilitating the getting the start of the process, engaging to move forward. So I think that might be helpful to her whole process.
Wow. Well, I wonder where you'll be at our next.
I might be out of body. By
then. Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's a wrap. I think it's a mic drop. Rose is going to be a grandma. And so that's exciting. How exciting.
Maybe this full moon will bring the baby in early. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? I'll report next time.
All right. Well, the message of the month, you all, is nurture yourself. Take care of yourself. Allow yourself to receive. And it is a wonderful month for an acceleration of your evolution. So thank you so much for joining me, my friend.
And everyone out there, be kind to yourselves and to each other. All right. Bye for now.
Until next time. Namaste.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call EarthChannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
Find out about Kristen Fontana and get your free weekly astrological forecast on her website, KristenFontana.com. Read articles written by the founder of evolutionary astrology, Jeffrey Wolf Green. Evolutionary astrology is a spiritual perspective astrology from Pluto's point of view, and what a view it is. You can even order a detailed personalized chart that tells you about your past, present, and future. You'll also discover where and when Kristen's upcoming conferences, workshops, and appearances will be on KristenFontana.com. That's KRISTIN Fontana.com.
When you need a positive point of view, turn to HealthyLife.net, your 24/7 radio network for a better future.